wonderful. David Bowie and Bing Crosby. I think it's from, it's right before Bing died, I believe. Late 70, I think 77, maybe. It's 77, I don't know, somewhere around there. Well, we play Christmas music here, ladies and gentlemen. We're not like, you know, the people in Britain who are trying to, you know, you hear that that politician say, we need to make Christmas less Christian to be inclusive. Let's go ahead and hear. We're waiting for James to come on. Let's hear the rest of this. This is great. That was great. That's perfect timing, too, because I think we have James. John, we have James ready? Oh, very good. Of course, you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of my personal favorites. Should I have personal favorites? I don't know, but I do. My wife does, too. And James is one of course. He's a tier one scientist. He has taught at the highest universities in the world in different fields, and he's Carl Sagan's best friend. No, not really. We'd love to have him. James McKinney, welcome back to the Power Hour, my friend.
Well, thank you, Daniel. Great to be here.
Yes, very good. Well, we were waiting for you to come on. Do you remember when David Bowie was singing with Bing Crosby, I think in the late 70s, Little Drummer Boy? You remember that song?
Well, I remember Drummer Boy. I didn't know that those two were singing it.
Yeah, it was a really odd pairing, and we played that while we were waiting. It just put us in a little bit of a Christmas mood, so right into you. And so with that Christmas mood, we want to talk a little bit about the Christmas star and what that means, and from your perspective as an astronomer and those kind of things. Let's talk a little bit about the Christmas star.
Well, it's unequivocally a comet. And all of the properties, and this is interesting, too. Comets come up many times in the Bible, in destruction, in the birth of Christ, in the recoming of Christ. The comets are prevalent, and there is a tremendous movement in all aspects of of history, of biblical study, in astronomy, in space science to negate the presence of comets and say they are these little, useless little puffy snowballs that couldn't do anything, and occasionally they might crash into Earth, but that's it. And so there's just many, many instances where standard science is brought into the fray to deny that these things are comets. I just did a show on this. On the Sermon on the Mount, it's called. It's from the Mount of Olives, where Christ, one of his apostles, says, "Hey, these temples are really well built. They're really sturdy. They're gonna last forever." And Christ says, "No, not a single stone will be left upon a stone." And he goes into the end day prophecies, and he describes a comet, all of the characteristics of a comet. And he says, "When you see the signs in the heavens, you'll know that, you know, the day is nigh." And he also says, of this day nobody knows, and there will be all kinds of false prophets to lead you astray, to have false predictions of end dates, which is we certainly know is true. But anyway, getting back to the Christmas star, when you look at the properties of the Christmas star, they discovered it in the east, but they followed it to the west. This means that it crossed behind the sun. And it had a tail, it had all the properties of a comet. And so, but in standard astronomy, every Christmas, they come out and they say, it was a planetary alignment or some ridiculous thing, a nova in the sky or something. And absolutely ridiculous. But the point is that a planetary alignment, for example, only lasts a couple hours and then it goes away. This thing they followed for months. They prepared for years to follow the star, the three kings, and then the three kings come together, and there was something so unusual about this comet that after waiting and studying the scriptures for thousands of years, these three kings from totally different countries recognized it and then met on the way following it.
This is, I'm fascinated by a couple things that you said. Well, several things, but let me focus on this. One, I've always heard that, you know, it's not at his birth that the three kings got there. It was much later, as you just said, maybe even up to 2 years old. What do you know there? What do you understand that to be?
Well, yeah, and there we get into kind of a biblical scholar types of things. But let's just face it. These three kings coming across with their entourage didn't get into a Ferrari and drive across the desert on a four-lane highway. This was a big operation they had to prepare because this was an unexpected event. But it was enough to where three kings put their entourage together in with gifts, knowing that the predicted magi would be at the end of this trail. Remember, they're going to cross the desert from very far away. And so, yeah, they probably could cover maybe at most 10 miles a day. So, and, you know, crossing possibly thousands of miles of territory. So, yeah, this was not an overnight deal.
Well, this also goes to the question of they were obviously looking for a star, obviously meant something to them. This star is, I don't know if it was scriptural based or astronomically, this was just known. Do you know anything about that? You know, was this, why were they looking for this star?
Well, there again, this is interesting because all of this information is very closely guarded even until today. Let's just fast forward to modern times when Hale-Bopp came into the solar system. It was known about in 1989, was confirmed in 1991 by the Naval Observatory, and Tier 1 science within NASA knew about it. The Tier 2 people at Goddard and JPL, the people you think are Tier 1 scientists, didn't know anything about it. The CIA knew about it. The President George Bush Sr., who just died, knew about it. Bill Clinton, as president, knew about it. And the Vatican got a hold of NASA and asked them, is this wormwood? Is this a potential object that could affect Earth? The Vatican built astronomical observatories to study this comet. You know, there was tremendous interest. And then NASA publicly denied that they had any interest in it at all when the Hubble Space Telescope was taking millions of photographs of this thing daily. You know, they took over a long period of time millions of photographs, and publicly NASA denied that it was any issue at all. So my point is that there's a tremendous effort to hide the issues of comets, including the Christmas star. So every year at this time, we have astronomers coming out saying, oh, the Christmas star could have been a planetary alignment. And some of them denying that it even happened in the atheist scientific community. But the reference to comets is something they don't want to touch in public with a 10-foot pole, whereas in behind the scenes, they know fully well that it has to deal with comets. And there's a reason for this that I have figured out. It is because if the public understood the true nature of comets, which I talk about all the time, they would leave the leadership in the dust, because people would realize what the end day prophecies mean, what the Christmas star meant, and other very fundamental issues that would affect our life.
Well, you said a mouthful right there.
Some kind of solution. Yeah, that's the ticket right there. Even the Vatican is worried about losing its contingency because of this.
You just said a big mouthful. Coming out of break, on the other side, We'll explore that. And you know, I don't think the audience knows how much of a pioneer you are in comet research, and we'll discuss that too. And many other things on the other side with James McCanny. JMCCSCI.com is his website. We're thepowerhour.com. Stay tuned. Our audience knows a lot about you, James. What they probably don't know, or maybe not be aware, especially new listeners, is your groundbreaking perspectives on comets. Maybe we should back up and talk about that. Talk about your research into comets, what you what you put forward, and why that's important to this discussion.
Well, just to start with, the standard explanation for comets is coming from Kepler in the Middle Ages, actually, and being continued through today in various variations, is that the comet is something icy and melts when it gets near the sun or sublimates, creates a tail. But it's total hogwash. It's a electrical phenomenon that occurs in the solar system, and we live in a very electrical solar system and universe. But a comet is basically a discharge of the capacitor created by the electrical conditions of the sun and its surrounding area that goes way out beyond Pluto. In fact, we'll probably talk about that, that Voyager 2 just crossed the boundary between our solar system and intergalactic space. But at any rate, the comets are very important in that they have a very significant role in history and in the future. And, for example, the end-day prophecies are very clearly indicating a comet. It's very clear. The Christmas star, very clearly indicating a comet. If you look at the properties and you go through all of the things that happen with the Christmas star, it's a comet. It's not a planetary alignment. It couldn't possibly be because these kings followed it, like you said, for probably months, if not years. And a planetary alignment is something that happens in a number of hours. So it's absolutely ludicrous. And I mentioned that the scientific community is atheist. And it is. It's permeated with atheist beliefs that man is somehow descended from the ape. You know, that you're just a bit smarter ape than the one still in the jungle. You know, I mean, there's no validation for that at all. And it's taught in all the schools. It's ludicrous. And the same with science of comets, etc. But there's a more nefarious reason for keeping comet science away from the public, and that is because if people understood the true nature of comets and therefore the somewhat violent nature of the universe, then they would lose respect for the leaders because they know the leaders of the world have no control over this. And that is the big fear, that somehow people would learn the true nature. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. The true nature of comets and how they affect planet Earth, how they have affected Earth in the past, and how they will affect it in the future. And so the entire Planet X disinformation barrage, it started in around 1995, and it's still going on. The people are predicting Nibiru and all this, and it's just government planted disinformation to make people turn away from real science. It's just garbage science being forced down the public's throat. They create false groups. They create false information. The papers have been filled lately with regurgitating the Heaven's Gate issue, which was a mass murder, the other incidents like that, where there was a tremendous effort to basically silence this kind of information from the public.
That's troubling and it's fascinating at the same time. It's because they feel like people will lose control, or they will lose control of the people, that the people are so reliant on quote-unquote leadership, governments, what have you, that if they really knew the entropy, the chaos that's going on in the world, that they would go a different direction. I mean, explain that. That seems very fascinating.
Well, let's look at the evening news. The turmoil in economics and the potential for economic downturn or, you know, insurance or your house payment or your, you know, the school shootings and everything that is just basically planned turmoil in our world. And people should be living more with their family. Homeschooling should be more common than public school. I mean, especially for young kids. And the way we live, the living structure that's been just jammed down everybody's throat, with both parents working, trying to pay for a house, the family unit being entirely destroyed. This is not by accident. This is not, you know, the people losing their houses and they think it's due to an economic cycle. That's absurd. There is no such thing as an economic cycle. These are planned economic occurrences to basically suck money out of the public and put it into the hands of the rich. And it happens every 5 or 10 years. So the people work and work and work and build up wealth, and then the rich people come along and in an afternoon on the stock market suck it all back. It's, you know, and get richer. So, you know, people would stop doing this if they realized that, you know, the plan of the universe is one where you should live relatively freely. You know, the Native Americans, they say, worked about 4 hours a week towards their food, their house, and their well-being. And the rest of the time they spent in communication and just being with their other people. You know, this idea that you have to spend 40 hours a week and lots more to sustain your house is a modern construct. And it's destroying the modern family. Mom and dad are working, you know, and the kids are growing up with TV, which is total trash, or public education, which is worse. You know, and then you come to the Christmas star, which has to do with comets, and just breaking through that little piece of information would be enough to set people free, because they'd realize that, hey, someday all of this is going to come to an end. And why don't we just spend our time relaxing and having a, you know, enjoying our families, et cetera.
Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Yeah. Enjoy what we got here. You said future effect of comets. That was very profound what you just said, James. Let me back up before we go into that future effect. You said something about future effect of comets. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at what's happened in the past, major disasters on Earth have occurred because of comets. The Venus event, which was a large comet coming through the solar system, came near Earth. It came near Mars. All the civilizations of the world talk about Mars losing its oceans and atmosphere to a passing comet. The same comet passed by Earth twice on two occasions and caused a great deal of damage. And this was the beginning of an ice age. You know, when we talk about the ice age, what started the ice age? Nobody can tell you, because their science doesn't make any sense. So what's happened in the past can happen in the future.
There we go. There's the music. There's the music, James, on the other side. This is very profound. You are very profound today. Not that you aren't other days, but especially. Stay tuned, jmcsci.com.